Could you build a business that's better for our planet? That's what I have set out to answer. Hi, I'm Marco Pimentel, marketing expert and entrepreneur and host of the podcast, Someone Like You. I become fascinated in finding creative climate solutions in business, and on the podcast, I break down how founders and CEOs are building climate-friendly business solutions that are opportunities for growth while being better for the planet. I wanted to take a second to tell you about our season two sponsor, Springwise. Springwise is the global ESG innovation platform that offers its readers early access to the ideas transforming our world. I actually started using Springwise probably 10 years ago to review innovative startup ideas, and I've been a fan ever since. There are three new stories on the site every weekday featuring solutions to some of the biggest challenges we face as a global community. You'll find innovations in climate tech, renewable energy, plastic alternatives, the circular economy, and how we can live a more sustainable life. The stories are sourced and written by the Springwise team of journalists and will give you an inspiring take on what's right around the corner, whether you read it to inform your work or simply for a regular dose of optimism. Springwise sets the innovation agenda. The newsletter is free to access, and to sign up, visit springwise.com/newsletter-signup. In a world where construction consumes over 50% of all the resources extracted globally per year, and less than 10% of our plastic is actually recycled, the need for sustainable building solutions is critical. That's where Dustin Bowers comes in, founder and product developer at Playx Building Systems. He has a diverse background in carpentry, fine arts, and environmental passion, all of which led him to create innovative solutions for sustainable construction. Playx is committed to manufacturing environmentally responsible building materials from recycled waste streams with a focus on durability and sustainability. As my guest for this episode, Dustin explores the unique challenges of the construction industry, how the company's Lego-style modular construction blocks are revolutionizing building practices. We talk about the quantitative impacts expected from Playx technology and their vision for a circular economy in construction, which will reduce carbon footprint while saving energy costs. Here is our conversation. Dustin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be invited here.
So we're talking construction, and you have a long history in construction, and construction trade when it comes to our climate is quite impactful. We build a lot, we waste a lot, and then we rebuild and we rebuild. And a lot of it is, you know, cement and wood and steel. And these are kind of tough industries to figure out in terms of, you know, the business opportunities and what has to change to be in a market that is obviously a lot more friendly to our environment. So how did you get into this industry? Were you started as construction? Was it family? And then how did you think construction plus climate? Like how did you think about, I got to reuse a bunch of materials, you know, we have this huge issue. How did that begin, and where was that connection start?
Yeah, so I mean, like you said, I have a long history in the construction industry. I grew up building with family members, and really since I could walk, I was helping on job sites, carrying tools and cleaning up, and then eventually starting to manage jobs at a fairly young age, which had its own unique challenges. You know, working with a lot of older fellas and having to be their boss was a interesting dynamic, but made me grow a lot. And over the years, I've really had a keen view on sustainability. I ran a vehicle on waste vegetable oil for almost 8 years. It was a fantastic way to travel around, and have always been committed to trying to build more sustainably. You know, on a lot of projects, we try to save materials, and, you know, had a garage and under the deck and wherever else we had space filled with scrap materials from job sites to use again some other time. But as I started to get into bigger and bigger projects, managing more and more, especially out in Vancouver, went and made some decent money. It started to really bother me seeing the scale of waste. And it's something a lot of people aren't really aware of, is half of everything we extract globally goes into construction. And that represents about 40% of global CO2 emissions. And I mean, to add to that, things like concrete is the second most used substance on the planet, next to water. And we use a good chunk of that water to make the concrete. So, the building industry poses a massive opportunity to really create impact on sustainability. And, if we want to reduce our carbon footprint, I mean, if you've got an entire industry that contributes 40% of it, it looks like a pretty good place to make a real impact. And that's really what we're doing is, we're taking the waste issues and turning those into a sustainable solution that can generate economic activity and can lay the foundations of a more sustainable and circular building future.
And right now, when we think about some of the solutions, I believe we can suck carbon out of the air and then inject it into concrete. There's some options of using green hydrogen to create, better steel, and there's some options around mass timber for construction materials as well. But the breadth of how much is being built right now, and how much we need to build, and the amount that, as you said, it's just astronomical. How much is being tackled right now? Like, are you seeing it just in general in the market? Are you seeing things that are in a positive change? Are you seeing like new rules or regulations in terms of what we have to use to build? Just macro level, like how are we seeing the changes in this space?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a lot of push to make changes in the space. I think changes are also very difficult to make oftentimes. And I think a lot of people feel a lot safer just following status quo. You mentioned some things like extracting CO2 from the air. Those direct air capture systems are very energy intensive, they're very inefficient. And some of them, there's some serious questions over whether they are actually doing anything, if they're a net remover or if they're contributing. So there's some serious issues to work through still in the chemistry side of a lot of the carbon capture. I think one of the biggest impacts that we can make is waste reduction. If we're more efficient with the materials that we're using, then we're going to have better emission standards, plain and simple. And there's other things like you were saying, like CLT or other techniques like that. I mean, unfortunately, things like CLT have their own nuances and issues as well, and cost prohibitions. And I mean, these systems are not simple to scale up often. And so what we've really been looking at is like, how can we scale something that is simple to scale quickly? And that's really what we're working on with our block-based solutions. And I think there are other solutions on the market that are trying to address similar aspects of it. But I can definitely tell you we have something very unique. If you check out our YouTube channel at PlayX, you can see a lot of examples of just how tough it is. I mean, I'd challenge any other startup to drive a tractor into their wall as well.
Yeah, and it's a very visual process, so YouTube's the place to check it out. But to kind of go back, so you spent a lot of time and a lot of years in the construction industry. You started seeing firsthand how much waste, and it's true, the waste is happening now, and that's something that we can fix now. And time is of the essence in a lot of these places. So what was your like, how did you go from that, construction industry thinking more about sustainability, to PlayX thinking I got to build a Lego block almost type of system, to using all waste, but pretty much 90 something plus percent waste materials? Like, how did you what was your initial idea, and how did you get your first kind of prototype out, I guess you'd say?
Well, I mean, honestly, it actually started, like I was saying, I ran Waste Vegetable for about 8 years. I had initially started to develop a proprietary system for that to easily convert a vehicle. I had helped several of my friends convert their vehicles to run on it. It's not a terribly complex system, but that's my opinion. And that's not always the way it acts out in reality. Complexity is very subjective. So I was trying to develop a proprietary system for that after having my first kid. And I was like, I'm starting to get tired of all the garbage I'm seeing in the construction industry. And I'm having a hard time finding skilled workers. You know, there's another statistic that should really scare people and is a massive business opportunity for the people who can see it. The average age of a skilled trades worker in North America is 60. You think the housing market's bad right now? Wait till half your workforce is about to retire in the next 5 to 10 years. That's scary. And many young people want digital jobs. They don't want to go and swing a hammer or run a saw. They want to be able to program something or, you know, have some sort of virtual application so they can work from anywhere type jobs. And while there is a lot of room for that within the, you know, evolving market, we have a massive challenge in front of us about how we upkeep infrastructure as we move into the future where people don't want to do labor work anymore. And so it was becoming very frustrating and contentious point in the industry when I was working, trying to find people. You know, there's a lot of people who say, oh yeah, I can do that. reality is that they can't. And then, you know, you try and teach them and there's a lot of complexity to it. So trying to find something that could simplify that is huge. And I took some time off. I started working on a proprietary veg oil system because I figured that could be something to start a business on. I looked at recycled materials to be able to do that. And I had some accidents in the process of mixing materials that kind of had a light bulb moment. And I went, what if I did this? And it started a journey on, you know, researching, realizing what I had in mind hadn't been done before, started the IP process. And then in January 2020, I dove in full tilt. I had spent maybe 2 or 3 years working on it a little bit in the background. Thought it was a great idea, continued to move it forward. Learned how to use Blender. I learned how to use FreeCAD. I learned how to use all of the software that I needed to be able to model what I had in my mind. And then, yeah, January 2021, jumped in full tilt. February got incorporated, and March the pandemic hit, and the investors I had lined up vaporized. And slugged through 2020, learned a lot, got the business plan all solidified. I ended up moving that year as well, due to everything going on with the pandemic. And then getting into 2021, I got into the first accelerator program, and that allowed me to hire the first employees, and we started building a team. By the end of 2021, it was December 31st, 2021, we had our first minimum viable product brick. It was a little rough around the edges, but it was a formed brick, and it was a thing of beauty. And then, you know, 2022 was a lot of development, refining that mix. We went through quite an iterative process developing equipment, realizing, you know, some of the off-the-shelf solutions just would not work, and began a lot of R&D to develop our own equipment that can process and manufacture the products and the material at scale. Then the end of 2022, we finally got into our first facility space, moved out of the garage and into just shy of 4,000 square feet in Dieppe, in the greater Moncton area. And then this year we've been busy setting up equipment and, you know, dealing with funding delays. But we've made a ton of progress. We set up a manual production line this year, and now we've produced significant number of bricks, and now we're in the process of retooling and getting ready for spring 2024 production, putting in automation and sensor systems, and all the control and programming for that is happening over the winter.
So let's talk a little bit about the product itself. So the brick, you wanted this to be built as sustainably as possible. That it's easy to install and use because of, you know, thinking about the future and labor shortages. How does the actual brick I guess how do you use this recycled material to create your bricks? Where do you get all this stuff? How do you grind it up in some sort of Heimer grinder, or like how do you go from, this idea to this brick, and what type of material are you using to take that needs to be recycled into this system?
Yeah, so we work with quite a few different industries to be able to source material. We're working with fishing gear collectives that help to source material from wharves and beach cleanups. So we get, various types of rope from the marine industry through them, as well as some other products like lobster tags and some other plastic that comes from cleanup events. We're dealing with agricultural plastics, so we were working with clean farms and other farming associations to be able to source things like silage wrap and feed bags or drip line or other polymer products from the agricultural and food industries. We're also working with some companies that do food packaging, and we're taking their post-industrial food packaging waste from the manufacturing facilities. We're working with some marinas taking boat wrap. So use they cl seal up the boats every year. So we're really addressing some of these very large volume industries that don't have a viable solution for their materials other than landfill or incineration. And we believe that those materials have a lot of value when put to the right use. And that's where we bring those in. We process all the materials in-house. We blend them together into our composite mix. And then we put it through our proprietary equipment that we've developed over the last 3 years to actually manufacture and produce these products. So yeah, it's a pretty amazing process. It's taken a lot of R&D to get here. From that wild idea to a physical brick in the hand is quite the journey.
And does the product have to have a certain mix? You talked about a bunch of different kind of waste streams and different things that are available that obviously, like you said, they're, going to a dump, worst case, getting even incinerated. Is there a certain percentage of mix where you need a certain type of this type of recycled plastic and this type of plastic here and this type of material? Is that how the kind of the formula works in terms of what type of composite you need to kind of put together?
Yeah, so we've identified several key polymers that we need majority amounts of just to keep specific ratios for the mix. And that's why we do source more, we call it industrial sources of plastic. We can get higher volumes at a more consistent rate. And it is important that we have a fairly consistent feedstock to be able to get a consistent output. And where we're getting into the building industry, it's very important for us to have consistency in order to meet certification guidelines. So, but I mean, when we're talking about the volumes of plastic produced globally, it's truly staggering. I mean, every year we're producing about 400 million tons of plastic globally. I mean, for some representation, that's a more than a billion pallets of plastic. So it's a number so large that it's hard to comprehend. And so, I mean, scaling this up, we don't have any issues running into supply for the next 10 to 15 years. And even beyond that, if we look at the OECD's reports on plastic for 2060, we're still looking at a doubling or tripling in plastic production by then. So, yeah, I mean, plastic's here to stay. I think we need to learn how to manage it effectively and realize that it is not a garbage material. I think truly taking on cradle to cradle philosophy of, we have these biological environments where materials are taken and then they're recycled and they go back into a new material. You grow some vegetables and the waste from the vegetables goes back into a compost to grow more vegetables, right? So by a similar respect, we need to take that approach with technology and synthetic materials as well. Every synthetic material should just be a feedstock for a new material. And if we do that, then synthetic materials aren't a problem anymore. I mean, what plastic offers us in our day-to-day lives is truly amazing. Yes, there's some big problems with it, and we need to curb the waste side of it, but it is an amazing material that has a lot of great applications. It's reduced wastage and shipping. In a lot of applications, it's way more energy efficient and sustainable if we manage the waste than some of the biodegradable solutions, which often take much more energy to produce, often cause a lot more wastage, and, you know, don't have the waterproof capacities that a polymer does, and then the weight efficiencies versus glass or metal. So I think that the big issue that we need to address going forward is what we do with our waste. And if we learn to manage our waste properly, that there isn't just, there should be no garbage. I mean, that's really the short of it. Every waste material should be a raw material for something new.
Every week on Someone Like You, we dive into stimulating conversations with founders, entrepreneurs, business owners, and the likes who are consciously and successfully creating sustainable business solutions for the long haul. Tune in every week for a new inspiring conversation on leading climate solutions. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please share it. And also, don't forget, subscribe on the platform of your choice and give us a rating and review. So you jumped into this in 2020, obviously a crazy time to do that. Were you working full-time at the same time, or was this something where you said, I need to put my kind of full-time energy into this? And how did you fund the initial part of it and the initial kind of cost to start doing this?
Yes, I mean, I had saved up a bit of money over years working, and I had worked in, you know, several trade jobs over the years, and I'd put a little bit away to be able to get things started. Nothing truly significant, but it was, you know, enough to survive for a little while on. And then, yeah, I mean, I didn't expect things to go sideways in 2020 the way they did. Luckily, I got full time into it come January 2020. Up until that, you know, I had been working on it evenings and weekends in the background. And then I had gotten a self-employment benefit program lined up for 2020. And that's where then I jumped full time into working on the business there. And then the world went sideways and somehow managed to survive through all of that and in fact, thrive through it. So, you know, we've come quite the way since it's some crazy little prototypes in a vendor tent beside my chicken coop.
So you have your first brick. You've got a materials stream, a waste materials stream to build out these bricks. What was your business model when you started to do this? What kind of application was this to go after, you know, switching to use this to build residential foundations? Was this used to build houses commercially? Was this used to build sheds? What was the business model that you had in mind, and where are you seeing kind of the opportunity in front of you as you start to, you know, look to building bigger and bigger automation processes and starting to scale this?
Yeah, we were initially developed this so that it could be used in residential applications or like commercial applications. In the process of scaling up, we've pivoted in the short term to a landscape product. So we're doing retaining walls and other non-occupied structures in the short term while we get CSA certification and ICC certification. Those are ongoing. We're working with the university doing lab testing to get those. But until that point, we're offering it as a landscape product to be able to get to market and let people get their hands on it and start building with it and start getting creative with it. That said, you know, our preliminary testing has been very promising. I'm quite certain that we will get certified for use into broader applications. And our vision for this long term is really to have a new physical construction platform for the industry that allows a plug and play integration of all of your building elements with no cut, no mortar, fully disassemblable and reusable circular designs. And then with that, now we can bring automation to the table and we can bridge that gap that we have within the labor market. And now as automation starts to take into other industries, there becomes an easy integration there to really solve some of the housing issues, waste management issues, with one beautiful, fun solution.
So this, in And I understand that the landscaping side of it, because it allows people to get creative. You don't need the same requirements as the building codes to do it. And you know, like you said, you know, check it out on YouTube. Like I could see homeowners very, very quickly and easily adapting this, because I can see my mind kind of going like, "Oh, this is really cool. I could do this," where before you, it might be a little bit daunting. When you think about the residential, the commercial side of it, is this a replacement for everything from foundation to your walls that you put your windows in and all run all your electrical through? How what at is that the intention?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we're starting out very simply, just like those building blocks you were talking about earlier. They started with three core blocks, and now they have thousands of product SKUs. So, in a similar fashion, we're starting out with a few core blocks, and we have our Landscape Links products, which are very simple. They're a little bit more retail friendly, and then we have our brick and panel system. The brick and panel system is very unique. It's a first in the world brick and panel system that incorporates a structural core block and an interlocking finishing panel that forms a fully finished wall system. Now, as we start to grow and scale things up and start to license with more companies, we're going to integrate more and more finishes to that. We're looking at things like, laminated hemp or laminated recycled PET foams for insulation. So we can bring insulation factors in, we can bring in finishing factors in, we can bring in integrated electrical systems, everything working in a plug and play fashion. So that really helps to simplify this whole process. And we know that we're not going to get to that full plug and play solution right away. So we've got a lot of bridge pieces as well, or stepping stone pieces, that allow for the integration of traditional building processes and materials into our products. So, our brick is designed on a 16-inch center. And, so we have increments of 4 inches and 8 inches and 16 inches that allows for easy integration with what people are familiar with. Our material looks and feels like concrete. It's about 35% lighter and way more impact resistant. So it looks familiar. And then, things like our dovetails. Our dovetails are designed to nicely fit a 2x4 slotted into it. So if you want to integrate doors or windows, you can simply insert a 2x4, put a couple of anchors into it, and now you have a simple, more typical solution for integrating your other building elements. And then once our panels start to increase in capacity and varying finishes, then the ability to customize is almost limitless. And it really, with that now we've got a structure that can be truly circular, and when it reaches the end of its life cycle, you take it apart. And the beautiful thing is, you never have to worry about it rotting ever.
Yeah. And I think one of the challenges that a lot of people talk about when we think about sustainability or climate change and these type of products that people have, and obviously using all this waste material, it's lighter, it's probably easier to install. But what is and you know, you're a new company. What about cost? Like, is this something that with scale you could see this being the same cost, where it's less of a like premium decision, or do you think it is going to be a premium product, or is the product maybe a bit more expensive but the labor is reduced like crazy, so that it ends up being the same? So like how do you address that big thing where I think everybody, you know, I think a large portion, I think this the studies are like 90% of people agree that climate change is here and that it's a problem, but it's really hard for people to adopt a lot of things sometimes because of either costs or that it's a change of lifestyle. And so, kind of, if you can give them a solution that's just better, they'll just adopt it. And so, how do you address that problem?
Yeah, so our product is definitely price competitive. It is not the cheapest pro so things like a cinder block on a per unit price, a cinder block will be cheaper, but it's a much lower quality product. You have to use mortar, you need skilled labor, it takes time to set the mortar, it's not going to deal with the impact, it's not going to deal with the moisture. There's a lot of differentiating factors between that and a product like ours. Really, the beauty of our product is on a material price point, it's a mid to high range product. It's not the most expensive and it's not the cheapest. It's a mid to high range product coming to market. When we start to scale up, we're definitely going to see that come down closer to a lower price point. We're still never going to be the cheapest item, but we're definitely going to see a lowering of our prices as we scale production. And the beauty of what we have is you're immediately saving 30% on wastage in shipping and in construction. So when you calculate the amount of loss you have between shipping and on the job site with traditional materials, you're eliminating up to 30% of your costs on materials right out the gate, because our product is buy what you need. You don't cut anything. It's click it together and you're done. So that's a huge savings right off the top. Next, you're saving massive amounts because of the amount of labor that it's going to take to put that together. So in some of the testing that we've done compared to, you know, traditional building materials, you're looking at about a third of the amount of time to build. You know, in the time that it took to build with traditional materials, we were able to build it, take it apart, and build it again. And so, I mean, that amount of speed and agility and ability to modify or change things, I mean, it's a value proposition that not many products can ever even dream to have. So it's a really amazing thing. And so your savings, when you look at total project costs, our products will always be cheaper than traditional materials on total project costs for a comparable apples to apples kind of comparison, right? If you think about it, we're kind of the next evolutionary step to it, like an ICF technology. With ICF, you start with a foam block. You got to cut them, make a giant mess on the site. Hope your guys cut them right, or your guys or gals cut them right. You don't have, you know, you got to pour a little bit of concrete, let it cure, pour a little bit more, let it cure, pour a little bit more so they don't blow out. You know, with ours, you eliminate all of that. There's no cutting. There's no mess. There's no waste. You take the blocks off a pallet, you place them in a line, click them all together, lock together. You put your paneling on, and your paneling can include your insulation and your siding finish. And then you put your interior paneling on that can include a gypsum or hempcrete type finish on the inside. And you have a fully finished wall structure. As we grow, we want to incorporate other things like floor systems and roof systems, but those are a few years away. Right now, we're very heavily focused on the wall structures and then pairing that with traditional solutions as well.
So if you think about kind of next kind of 3 to 5 years and, you know, business model in mind as well, you mentioned, you know, licensing, you know, what's the goals for the next 3 to 5 years? Is your plan to include this for homeowners to pick up at Home Depots to, you know, how do you start scaling this and who starts selling this for you? Is this your internal team? Are you going to look at distributors? Like how does that kind of next 3 to 5 years look for you when you think about trying to get this in the hands of more consumers?
Yeah, so we're really going to be growing our production through licensing very quickly. We have a long waiting list of interested parties who want to license our technology, both here in Canada and internationally. So we're hoping by the end of 2024 to have launched at least one, if not three, new pilot facilities. So sending a production line to a couple of our licensees we're in negotiations with right now. And we're hoping to be able to ramp that up very quickly for international production. And then retailers have been a big market, especially here in North America. We've had interest from all of the major retailers so far. Initially, next year, we're starting with local retailers here just because production capacity is very limited. So we're working with these local retailers to be able to meet that smaller demand. We are doing a couple of special projects we're shipping products a little bit further for, but generally speaking, we're focusing on the local market with a direct to some contractors and direct to quite a few retailers locally. And then we will be scaling that up. We've got a lot of people that we've been in discussions with about this. So it's evolving and growing, and we're bringing on more people to help scale this up pretty quickly. So it's exciting. And the set-based approach is really where we're focusing in the short term. You know, we've got a 5-in-1 flower bed, and we've got a shed, and we've got a sandbox, and we got a window well, and a dog house, and a garbage storage little shed thing. So we're really focusing on those set applications to scale things up quickly. And then once we get to the right size and scale, we'll be branching more into the build sphere when we get those certifications in 2025 and beyond.
And start doing that. And licensing is important because of being able to get your product manufactured in different locations because of just waste streams. It's more efficient and just scalability, just faster to get your product into hands of into buildings and kind of all over. Is that the reason to go the licensing approach?
Yeah, I mean, contract manufacturing is typical across the industry. There are the cost efficiencies of getting a partner involved who has facility space, who has technical expertise in-house already, that you just ship them equipment and they set that equipment up and can start producing product to fulfill orders for you. It's a much more efficient business model. We are working with some who may not have manufacturing set up right now yet, but they're involved in some other tangent related to what we're doing. But working with partners, I mean, you need to grow a massive team to scale things up. And if you can get people willing to put their own capital up to help make that real, they have more of a vested interest to have a mutually beneficial situation with you. So licensing is definitely the most effective way to scale up quickly, unless you have, you know, billions of dollars in an account.
Yeah, leveraging that all those people that are doing that, and then it's also more efficient to get that product in people's hands from there. So you have less distribution costs, less waste to get there, less shipping, all of those benefits. When you think about what you've built, and I think it's been spoken to, and I think you called this out, like there is a massive need for trades. There's a massive need for us to deal with the issue of sustainability, reusing waste. And a lot of people are afraid to get their hands dirty, and you obviously are not, and you are tackling an industry that's very, very, very hard to get into, that is trying to bring to market something that is right in front of you. We waste so much and we produce so much, and how do we change that? And so when you think about that, and when you think about somebody talking to you about, you know, entrepreneurship and, you know, what they think about their future, what would you say to them? Like, what kind of advice would you say to entrepreneurs or people that want to get involved in climate or sustainability?
Well, if you have the grit and determination to do so, please do. We need more people pushing solutions forward. The challenges that face our world and our generation and the future generations are big ones. And, you know, we need to achieve circularity within our economies, and we need to leap off world. And those are two massive tasks that future generations must excel at.
Dustin, thanks so much for joining us. Would you suggest PlayX on YouTube for people to kind of get more information? What would you suggest to get learn a little bit more and see the product in action?
Yeah, absolutely. We share content regularly across all social media platforms, whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, X, or YouTube. But YouTube is really where we focus on a lot of content creation and bringing a lot of video so that people can really get an idea of what we're working on and the applications that can be realized with it. So we have some very exciting stuff. We're planning some very exciting videos coming up over the next few months, and definitely recommend people go and subscribe and follow us and keep up to date on our amazing journey. And if you're interested in getting involved, do reach out to us. We're really focusing a lot of our deliveries for 2024 into the Maritimes region here in Canada. But we are very eager to begin discussions with interested parties who have capital to be able to scale this up. We have interested retailers, we have massive markets, and we have a technology that's at this nexus point of massive problems that need solutions. And we have a solution that is truly scalable and can make a massive impact in this.
I really encourage everyone, check it out. Go to YouTube, watch this. I'm very excited to hopefully one day have some blocks to play around with and start building things. This is, yeah, that was Dustin Bowers. He's the founder of PlayX.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Marco.
I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Someone Like You. We're a new podcast, and I would love if you can do a few things. One, please share the podcast with a friend, family member, work colleague, anybody that you can think of that would enjoy learning more about these incredible brands. Please also support these type of companies. They're doing the hard thing, and the hard thing often takes a lot of people to get on board. And don't forget, please subscribe on the platform of your choice and give us a rating and review. I'm Marco Pimentel. Thank you for joining us today. For more information on Someone Like You, you can find us on Instagram at Someone Like You Podcast, with all the links to the podcast, our website, and more information about the brands that we feature. Thank you again.